And every second Monday, I'm already on Tuesday, every second Monday we're joined by the team from Africa Check. Kate Wilkinson joins us today. And we put forward claims that have been made in the public arena. And Africa Check does the hard work of investigating, thoroughly interrogating these claims to find the source and to really assess the veracity. Is there any truth to some of the claims that we encounter via social media, through the newspapers we read, through the news bulletins we hear, through the members or the leaders in society that make pronouncements and may refer to some of these statements and claims? What is the veracity and truth about some of the claims we come across all the time? Because we hear it, we adopt it, and then we raise it in conversations, and soon it becomes true. And this is what we need to challenge and avoid, especially in the face of not just fake news, but the way we've seen this democratization of publishing when it comes to news and all sorts of other things in the form of social media. And today, and good afternoon, Kate, by the way.
Zaya.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And Kate wasn't going to say anything, by the way. I'm disappointed. She was going to carry on like, my face is normal. Shame on you. I'm kidding. So the social media side of it is where we all get to publish. Mm. We publish based on our own opinion, on what we consider to be the claims that we put out. We put our claims on social media, and often we don't add links. And so many times this then becomes true, or other people might read it or internalize it as truth. These are some of the dangers of social media, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think though that the dangers that we see in social media are, they have their roots in a thread back to, you know, like you said, publishing, traditional means of communication, putting something out there and then people seeing it, especially if it's something which hits a chord in us, if it's something to do with something we perceive as dangerous, whether it be crime or threats to our communities. As soon as we hear something that resonates with us, especially if we feel that there's a threat, if we feel like we need to help people by sharing this information, we're often quick to hit that retweet or share button without actually thinking about it and thinking it through.
Yes.
And thinking about how useful is the sharing of this information going to be.
And that's the start of one of the claims we're going to be looking at today. It was a claim about education in this country that was made by SoWellnomics, at SoWellnomics, it's a handle. So they recently tweeted saying that, what was the claim? They said South Africa has the third worst education system in the world. 50% of students drop out of the system, while only 30% get the marks required to get into uni. So this was a claim made on this particular handle.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you look at that, there are three quite shocking claims made in one tweet. Mm-hmm. And if that's a snapshot of our education system, then it presents quite a dire picture.
Yes.
And it was shared very widely. When we published our fact check, it had been shared over 760 times, liked by over 1,400 people.
Yes. And often when we like, we want to file that for future reference so we can go back to it and be able to quote it.
Yeah. So it definitely hit a chord with people. And I think we can understand why. We know that there are problems with education in South Africa. We've seen the challenges that we're trying to overcome, problems with literacy, with numeracy, with students dropping out of the system, with when we see every year the big fanfare and attention which is placed on the matric results because they are seen as such an important benchmark of our education system.
Yes.
And I think that's why this tweet hit a nerve, because people already feel this somewhat, that there is a problem. Mm. And this tweet gave them a language or a way to describe it.
Right.
But the question is it true?
Is it true?
We know there's a problem, but is the way the problem is described and depicted, is it accurate in this tweet? And that's what we set to find out.
And often when you set to find out whether there's truth or not, or what the source may be, you contact the person involved. Were you able to get a response from SoWellnomics?
So contacting the person who made the claim is actually our almost first step in the fact-checking process, because we don't see fact-checking as a sort of gotcha little trick. We're not going to see something you've tweeted, fact-check it, and then a big headline, Zanya got it wrong, she doesn't know what she's talking about.
I remember with Ethel Trollope, people on Twitter kept saying, Ethel Trollope got it wrong, yeah.
So what we do is we get in touch with the person, because we first like to assume that they are correct, because your mind can play tricks on you. And if you start off thinking, oh, this person's wrong, they've got the numbers wrong, you'll find that your mind will lead you to information and research and data which proves what you already think.
Yes.
So we like
to
think,
your view.
So we like to think, oh, he must know what he's doing. He must have all these statistics available. Let's get in touch. So we tweeted at the account. We don't know who this person is. There's quite a lot of debate about his identity, about his race, who he could be. Mm-hmm. And you can see that in some of the responses to this tweet.
Right.
And we got in touch with him or her, and they responded. And to support at least the first claim that we looked at, which stated that South Africa has the third worst education system in the world, we were sent a link to an article from 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And in that article, it reported on the World Economic Forum's Global Information Technology
report. Have we not done away with this report because it's caused so much harm?
It has. And I'm sure listeners will know that there are a number of problems with this report. Although,
yes,
we must be fair, there's also a lot of information in the report that is fine. So,
We drew the wrong conclusions out of it.
Yeah. So what the report does is every year, there are lots of different reports. You get information and technology reports. You get competitiveness reports. And it looks at a number of countries around the world. In this case, it was around 139. And it looks at a whole lot of issues, access to electricity and access to water and business confidence and a whole list of things. And some of them are quantitative. They actually look at the percentage of households which have access to electricity and they give you the number.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really useful because if you want to rank all these countries by access to electricity, that's great.
Yeah.
The numbers are credible.
Yeah.
But what they also do is they have an opinion survey, and they speak to unidentified business leaders. That's the term they use. And they ask business leaders, in the case of South Africa, in the last survey, which was actually from 2017-18, they spoke with 170 business leaders in South Africa. This is quite a jump from previous years where we've seen below 50.
Right. Okay.
And they asked them to rate on a scale what they thought the quality of South Africa's education system was.
Mm.
And everyone has an opinion on that. I have an opinion. You have an opinion. You can go to all the provinces. You can go to all neighborhoods. And people will be able to tell you what they think of mm-hmm. the quality of South Africa's education system. But this isn't a very good way to rate something and measure something which actually can be measured and rated.
Right.
And when we spoke to experts, what they said was that it's essentially the equivalent of going to 170 business leaders who, for, you know, could be very intelligent people, know a lot about business, have experience, have worked in South Africa, but they don't actually know anything about the education system. They're not education experts, they're not researchers, they're not academics. And an expert actually said to us, it's the equivalent of saying to these business leaders, can you tell us what percentage of South Africans are HIV positive?
Wow.
They can guess.
Yeah.
Some might think it's much higher, much lower. Some might be right on the money.
Mm-hmm.
But we have much better ways to measure that.
Right.
We have scientific ways. We have ways that which have their basis in the scientific method and comparability and a rigorous methodology.
Mm.
And the way that this is done doesn't meet any of those standards.
Right. So let's look at that first claim. The first one being South Africa has the third worst education system in the world. And that came out of this World Economic Forum's Global Information report.
Mm. And so when you look at the report, the first one that we were linked to by the account showed that we were 137th out of 139 countries for the quality of our education system.
Mm-hmm.
The most recent one actually puts us 114th out of 137 countries. So a little bit of a move up.
Yeah.
Dragging our way up the ladder. But 2 points. The first one we just mentioned, this is not a rigorous way to compare the education systems.
Mm-hmm.
No students were tested and no results were looked at.
Yeah.
There is no way that you can use this to measure an education system. And secondly, and this is a sort of a top tip, the moment you hear someone say that a country has the best or the worst of anything in the world, the first question is, how many countries were involved in the study?
Yes.
Because according to the United Nations, they recognize 193 member states.
Yes, because I think what the state of Palestine isn't recognized and Sea of Rome
yeah.
is not.
So there are a couple which are debated and contentious, but when we're looking at this report, we're only looking at 137 countries. So we're definitely not talking about the world, and the way that the education system was ranked and measured is not scientific at all.
Right. So what do we say about that part. So, is it correct?
So when you're looking at incorrect? This, the conclusion is that the claim that South Africa has the third worst education system in the world is incorrect. We can look at much more respected measures, and one of them is a study which is called the Southern and Eastern Africa Consortium for Monitoring Educational Quality. Mm-hmm. And with a name like that, they should know what they're doing. I had to read that. the latest data we have is a little bit older, from 2007. Their latest results have had a few issues, so they're rerunning the tests. But if you look at how they did it, you can see the difference. In that study, they tested over 61,000 grade 6 pupils in over 2,700 schools, and this was in 15 countries across the African continent. And you can see that just the different level and the standard of assessment that we're getting there. And when we look at that data, we see that when it comes to maths, we're ranked 8th out of the 15 countries. And when it comes to reading, we're placed 10th out of the 15 countries. So there are serious problems in South Africa's education system. But claims like this don't give us the real picture and don't actually help us understand where the problems lie.
Exactly. Now, the second claim in that tweet was that 50% of students drop out of the system.
So this is a little bit of a tricky one, because we have seen a lot of debate about the dropout rate in South Africa, and we've seen attempts to calculate a real matric pass rate. So how it's often done is you look how many kids start in grade one, and you look how many kids come out at the end, and you do a little bit of math, and you see claims that around 50% drop out. So what we did when we looked at this claim was we spoke to an academic from the University of Stellenbosch, and the first thing they said to us was, it depends what your definition of dropout is. So we know in South Africa that you only actually have to go to school until grade 9.
Yes, the compulsory grade.
So, you know, if you drop out before grade 9, that's also a way to measure the dropout, because, you know, after grade 9, you don't actually have to stay in the system. But the first measure that we were told is a useful way to look at it is to look at the grade 11, the percentage of students who finish grade 11.
Right.
And what we see is that for students who were born between 1990 and 1992, 32.4% of them dropped out and never got to finish grade 11. If we look at grade 9, what we see in that measure is that in 2016, 11.4% of students dropped, of 19 to 21 year olds, never even got to grade 9.
Right.
So we've got two different measures here. Another thing that we can look at is we can look at what percentage of young people eventually get a matric. Because we know that not everyone does it in 12 years, and that some people stay in the system and take a couple more extra years to do it.
Yes.
And we know in our last matric exams that we had a number, in fact, hundreds of students who were 24, 25, 26, 27, who had just been stuck in the system and hadn't been able to pass through in the number of years which is expected. So we know about 50% of students, of young people, eventually manage to get
matric.
A matric.
Okay.
And we know that that can happen later in life.
Yes.
The question is, though, well, the point is, we can't automatically assume, the experts tell us, that the remainder 50% have dropped out, because we know that a significant number of students do actually go to write the exam, and unfortunately, they don't pass.
Yes.
And it's very difficult with the data that we have to figure out, of the remaining 50%, how many of them did drop out of the system and how many of them actually did try to write the exam, but they failed.
Sat for it and just failed when it came to it. Okay.
So when we look at the claim that 50% of students drop out, we rated it as misleading. We know that 50% definitely managed to get a matric, but you can't automatically make the assumption that the remainders or brand them as dropouts.
Right. Okay. And then the third part of the claim, that only 30% of students get the marks required to get into university.
So this was the last slice of the tweet for us to fact check. And to verify this, the data is actually very easy to access. And if you ever want to have a look at claims regarding education, you can go to the Department of Basic Education's website, and they have a lot of information on lots of different topics that you can use to understand the problems that we face and fact check them yourself. So all of this information that we used to fact check this claim was on the department's website. And when you look at the National Senior Certificate results for the last year, it will tell you how many students qualified for university entrance. And there's an important little caveat here is there are lots of different, there are a number of different passes when it comes to matric. And if you get a bachelor's pass, technically you qualify
yes.
to apply to university. Mm-hmm. But what that means is that you achieved at least 30% in your language of learning, along with at least 50% in four other subjects.
Yes.
But those of us who have been to university or applied to university know that the actual requirements for courses are substantially higher.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about these students, not all of them would have actually been able to go to university, even if they applied. Firstly, because they may not have actually got the marks required. And secondly, we know that there's a huge demand for tertiary education.
Yes, not everybody will get a space.
And there just isn't a place.
Mm.
But when we look at the just over 534,000 students who wrote the matric exam in 2017, what we see is almost 154,000 of them received a bachelor's pass.
Right.
And when you work out the percentages there, you'll see that
it's under 30%.
Yeah, it's around 28.7% of candidates who wrote the exam
mm-hmm.
received the necessary marks for at least being able to apply. Of course, though, whether they get in is another question.
Hmm.
Some bright news, though, is that this has increased over the years. It is only 30%, but in 2016 it stood at 26.6%, and then the year before in 2015 at 25.8%.
All right, so we are. It's getting better. It's getting better. The numbers of students who get the required marks to enter university. Mm. So that last bit of the claim, mostly correct.
Mostly correct. So he was slightly off. It's not quite 30%, but it looks like with the trend that it's heading that way.
Yes, and I think it's important that we interrogate some of the pages that we follow and the information that they put out, because we so willingly often accept the claims as they are made. Let's move on to the second claim for today. We've sorted out the tweet from Sowellonomics. Let's look at this other one. It says that the South African Roads Agency gets traffic deaths stats wrong.
Yeah, so this was a tweet that we looked at, and there was a tweet which came from the Road Traffic Infringement Agency,
mm-hmm.
And they claimed that about 47% of road fatalities are pedestrians. And this is concerning. We know that a lot of people in South Africa use South Africa's roads, not just by car, but we have a lot of people who walk to work, mm-hmm. Either as the main form of transport or at least are catching rides, and then the last bit of their journey is on foot. And a few people got in touch with us and asked us to look at this claim.
Oh.
And we got in touch with the agency who tweeted it, the fact, and they referred us to a report from the Road Traffic Management Corporation. And they also said that when it came to this tweet, they were referring specifically to the Easter weekend. So not something they mentioned, but
yes,
an important fact.
When it was first introduced, it didn't stipulate that it was around that Easter weekend.
So we looked at the report that was provided, but not even the report actually supported their claim. It actually showed that 47% of fatalities were passengers and not pedestrians. And when we spoke to the Road Traffic Management Corporation, they said specifically over Easter, you do see a spike in passenger deaths because people often travel in groups. They're people in buses, there are people in mini buses, people mm-hmm. in cars. Mm-hmm. And if there is a fatality, because there's so many more people in the vehicle,
passenger numbers tend to increase. Right.
But we decided to look at the most recent data, and that was for 2016. And what we found there was that pedestrians actually accounted for 38.4% of road deaths that year. So
maybe the person who tweeted that just wasn't paying attention
possibly,
to what that figure is attributed to.
Possibly. So that's about 10 percentage points lower. But what's also interesting to note is that they actually estimated that there were just over 14,000 deaths because of road accidents in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
However, experts think and have proven that this is probably an underestimate.
Wow.
And that's because those numbers are based on police reports. So when there's an accident, police officers at the scene, they take down how many people have passed away, and that information is used. But a lot of deaths are actually lost in that process because mm-hmm. a police officer might not always be on the scene of an accident where someone dies, or someone might die later and it doesn't make its way into the system. So a study,
pedestrian deaths are more than a study was
conducted in 2009, which actually estimated that there were 17,000 road traffic deaths that year compared to just the 13,800 that were estimated by mm-hmm. the Road Traffic Management Corporation.
Sure.
So when it comes comes to this claim, and it comes to this claim, the claim is incorrect. It looks like there was a little bit of muddled tweeting involved.
Because it's since been deleted.
Because it has since been deleted. But if you want to have a look at that and a breakdown of, you know, the numbers and exactly when it comes to pedestrians and drivers and passengers and cyclists, how the numbers lie, you can have a look at our website. But this claim is incorrect.
Yes, and I think this, because this was also coming from the authorities, it really does highlight the importance of this conversation and what we're actually doing. Because so often, a lot of us would have taken that at face value and been so shocked. Oh my God, 47% of road fatalities are pedestrians. And just taken it to be fact. Meanwhile, it was a bungle as far as this post was concerned. But the fact that it's coming from their handle, from the RTIA's handle is even more concerning.
And it gives it
it's not a second source or somebody else.
And it gives it a lot of weight. But we fact-checked a lot of people. For example, we fact-checked the World Health Organization. And people do get it wrong. Mistakes are made. But what's important is once you realize you've made a mistake, you remove that information from being circulated. So you stop it misinforming people. And then you issue a correction to try and help and fix the damage that you've done.
Okay. Well, we do invite you to be a part of our eyes and our ears when it comes to some of these claims that are made in the public space. So you can drop me an email at sazania@702.com. co.today, and we'll make sure that Kate and her team check it out. Tapiwa, that's what you've done. Tapiwa has tagged us on a post that he says, please can you fact check this claim? And the claim is, in the 2014 elections, 4% of ANC votes were from white people. So that's going to be hard.
It's tricky.
That's going
to
be hard.
Yeah, I suspect from the work that we've done is it's almost impossible to
know that,
to get a racial
because
breakdown.
Because our votes are
our secrets.
See? Yeah. So, Tapu, I hope that answers you, but also it's irresponsible of the person who's posted that. It would be interesting to see where they got that from. So I'll tag Africa Check and we'll try and bring some clarity to that the next time we have Kate Wilkinson in studio. But keep them coming. It's zania@702.co.za. As you read the paper, as you listen to the bulletin, as you engage with your friends and families, you name it, listen to Parliament, whatever it may be, are these claims actually correct? So the source, when it was made and where, and drop me an email at zania@702.co.za. Thank you, Kate.
Thanks, Zania.